Yeah, you could if you want. Yes, maybe even better.
So could the ground have to be for a coal without pouring it or
not? Well, you should pour on it.
No,
you don't need the stone. If you're only going to put coal on it on Pesach, you... Yes, it's not a problem. If you're not going to put hot pots on the granite countertops on Pesach, then even if you put hot pots during the year, it would suffice just to dump hot water on it and not to do more.
Let's say you have a pot of macaroni and you don't put it on the granite countertop, but by mistake, add the pot of macaroni...
That's something splashed, that's not a problem. That you can kosherize with dumping hot water. Because that's exactly the point. Since it came by being poured from a pot, by pouring hot water will suffice.
If the hot pot directly goes on your countertop,
then you have problems. Okay. But on pots, again, if you put hot pots during the year, you're not going to put hot pots on Pesach, then it suffices just to dump hot water and not to do anything more. Yes?
But when you boil that first, when you first kosher the thing, and you boil that first kettle of water, where do you get that water from?
You take cold water. You can take cold water from the sink. That's
right,
fine. Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
If you use the same countertops, you know, the covers from year to year, do you have to know which was top and which was bottom, or if they're not meant?
If they're clean, I wouldn't worry about it. That's just wash them off. Okay. Yes. I would still suggest that you not do it. You use the water for 24 hours. Yes, Ronnie.
Two questions. Firstly, how hot is hot? When you talk about a hot pot, you put on a counter or AC.
Hot? Over 120 degrees.
So it's really hot,
not warm. No, hot, yeah. Go ahead.
We have a faucet in the kitchen which has a strainer built into it. But it's a plastic tube.
Don't splash hot water on it and leave it alone. That's all. In such a case, that's what you do. It's consistent with the Pesach Rav Moshe Zatzal. Yeah.
You have a granite countertop that's not polished?
What do you mean not polished? Yeah. Not sealed?
No, it's not polished granite. There are blocks of granite squares.
Put together? Yeah, there's no way. If it's not solid... Once it's not solid, I would tell you that you have to cover it because you have other material. Yes, because you have other materials. They have what it is. Corian is the same. Corian is, it's impossible to figure out exactly what it is. I've tried, I've read the literature, but basically it's ground stone mixed together with who knows what else, you know. Yeah.
What if you don't have a sprayer in the sink? Not a sprayer, but your spout extends.
The spout itself, you mean?
The spout itself.
So dump hot water, splash hot water on it. That suffices. On that case, yes, if you can't this. If you can't change it. Yeah, dump it.
Hazara, you talked about before with the stove, the situation where you had put the pot actually in the floor of the sink.
Yes.
So you know, without that, you wouldn't necessarily have to put a stone in the sink.
There's no requirement whatsoever.
And if you did, then you have to put a stone in every spot.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta. Not an easy task. In the commercial koshering, you do this differently, and that's the way to do it in commercial koshering. I wouldn't let you do in your house. Commercial koshering is done by people that understand how to use equipment that you shouldn't use in your house. And you basically, you spray the water on the sink, and you boil it off with the torch on the spot. So that takes the place of your oven maluban because you boil it on the spot. But that's not a means to use in your house, and not by people that are not used to using such equipment.
And if you have a big enough stone that will boil the water in the sink, because if you could stopper up your sink and put in boiling water from a hot pot, right?
Yeah.
And then you throw in a...
If it's hot enough to really make it hot by itself to boil it there, I don't know that you're going to succeed in that. I'm not sure. If you're able to do it, fine.
It just boils all over.
Whatever, if it's, you know.
That suffices?
Yeah, that would suffice. If it causes the whole thing to boil. So you just need enough, you know.
Is it 24 hours beforehand? You only can use hot water, but cold water?
Yes, you can use cold. Yes, cold water.
flashing, do you have to work from the top down?
I would usually work from the, it doesn't make a difference, but I would work from the top. Practically, it's easier from the top down.
Okay, but it's not like what's that?
No. It's before Pesach. You haven't used it for 24 hours. Nothing's going to happen.
But some sinks now have water filters,
yeah.
Separate switch, spout. How would you capture that? The actual spout itself is plastic.
I'd have to see it. I don't want to, speculate. I mean, if it has, Ramosha allowed something with a minimal amount of plastic. If it's basically not plastic and only a small amount of plastic, to be kosher on Pesach. If it is. If you can replace it, I don't know what the cost of it is. I really don't know. Then you could do that as well. But if not, and it's only a small amount of plastic, then you could dump hot water directly on it. If mostly it's metal and a little bit plastic, you follow the majority of the material.
Okay.
Yes?
When you cover it like that, by the sink and everything, that is something
like
just contact tape or something?
Yeah. You're not usually going to have hot things, over there. You just want to make sure that there's no dirt. Yes? Have a wood. Basically, you're going to probably dump. I would also tell you to dump hot water on it and cover it well. Yes, but cover it well. Yes.
The hot water attachment on the
side of your skin is different. Oh, the instant hot. I believe that if you don't use it for 24 hours and you dump top, just take water out of it and dump water from the kettle on the spout, it's fine for Pesach.
It's not water. It's not one night.
So then but it's true. You dump hot water on the outside, and the inside is Kabbalah Kach Polter. That's all. Because an equipment which cannot reach by design Yatzoledes, if it can't reach Yatzoledes, then there's a Tshuva's Marshal that you have to kasher with Yatzoledes. But Ramosha says it's only because of the possibility, that it once boiled. But if you know by design, it has a governor, it cannot go above a certain temperature, so that's it. So you're not mechuyev to do more than that. No, but I'm saying, but for kashering, you have to boil. Anything less than boiling, according to the Mashal, is not kosher. But Ramosha says it's only limited to equipment which could conceivably boil.
But then practically, how do you do this? Because you're going to have the water coming out into the sink, which you just kashered.
Yeah, it's before Pesach, it's not a problem. Yeah, and I would dump on the outside, which may have in fact been exposed to really boiling water, I would dump hot water on it.
And then you just let water pour out of it?
And the possibility of the inside really being non-kosher is very, very small.
Right.
Altogether.
Well, inside coming up from the sink.
Yeah, how much is that? A mashu who went in, you dump it out, whatever. Kabbalah Kach Polter, it's Iri, it's all it is. It's not a klirishin. The mashal is by a klirishin, namash. Okay, Michael.
This is different. It sounds like I think I recall the Rav saying that by a regular hot water urn.
Urns or something else.
Is that because of the plastic?
Urns
are. Why are you not worried about the speaker in the. In other words, I hate the phrase. The fact that the steam goes back up.
Listen, Ray, for what I said, when it comes to Pesach, we're a lot more machmer on
this. I understand, but we're more machmer about that, but I'm not sure why there's a distinction between the hot water urn pouring into a cup of coffee as opposed to the instant pouring into the same cup of coffee.
I'm not, normally, by an urn, I'm not particularly machmer. I mean, you can use an urn for pouring into milk. I just tell people not to hold it too close.
I thought the Rav says that on Pesach, he would prefer we didn't use a separate hot water urn.
I prefer you not kosherize at all because it's hard to get that clean. An urn is really, in your house you cannot get 100% clean. You have stuff on the inside, etc. Commercial urns are a different story in commercial facilities. They don't have because they have cleansers that they put in constantly throughout the year that you don't get the build up that you get. And they have, it's interesting, the coffee companies that sell the coffee to the hotels also, they bring envelopes of the powder that you put in, like once a week, you boil it up with it.
You can buy this stuff.
Yeah, but the coffee companies bring, it's part of what, when you order from a coffee company in a commercial establishment, they bring, I don't know what the chemical is, but they bring chemicals in an envelope, and you dump it in once a week, and you boil it up, and it keeps all the buildup that you normally get in your home, or it keeps it from happening. Because when they paid, I guess, you know, maybe $5,000 or so for the system, or $10,000, the buildup is going to kill it eventually, and you cannot afford that when you're paying $5,000 to $10,000 at a clip.
I think it's a vinegar problem.
Yeah, but they have some powder that they use. They don't even use, you know. Okay, what else? Yes.
I'm sorry. So, Alphabia's, I guess, next to the instant
hot
that I have here, I can't use it
in Pesach. You can kosher it for Pesach, yeah. Dump hot water on the outside.
And
then just let water come out from it. Open it up and let water come out, and that'll be fine. Now, there are a couple of more things I want to touch. Refrigerators, two things. First of all, clean them well, including the gasket on top of the door. There's a lot of junk that falls in all of these places throughout the year. And it's better, I'm coming to the conclusion, it's better to cover the shelves than not to cover the shelves, although not a chiyuv. And the reason is, again, that sometimes during the year, people take hadash pots and put them directly onto the racks itself. So you find even Rabbi Heinemann, for example, writes that it's not obligatory to cover the racks, but there's a myelin covering the racks for that reason, because if you pretend to put things which are still hot inside, you're going to have less problems on Pesach if they are covered. But if you do cover the shelves, you should make holes in the shelving material to let the air has to circulate. Otherwise, that's the way that your refrigerator functions. If you stop the air from circulating, it's not going to function too well. Now, one second. What did I want to share with you? Tables are basically the same. If they're, you know, 4 mica tables, you could use, it's a chumrah to dump hot water on them. The main thing you have to do is wash them clean and cover them well. Cover them with something which won't allow the heat to go through, and put a plastic coverings on the top. If you have a table which has room for additional sections, so where the seam joins, you obviously have to pull it apart and clean in the middle, because there is usually a huge pile of chumrah that builds up during the course of the year. Now, generally, I did not speak about koshering dishwashers and microwaves, because it's not very practical to kosher either of them. Most microwaves are made with plastic insides. You should not kosherize plastic for yontif, so I'm not a believer in koshering them. Dishwashers come in three types. Two of them are non-kosherable for Pesach. They have sort of enamel type insides, plastic insides, which you cannot kosher for Pesach. You have stainless insides, which you can kosher for Pesach, but you also have to get new racks for Pesach if you're going to do it, and clean well around the gaskets on the outside. So as I said, I don't go into them because I don't think that, practically speaking, that's the path that we're going to go on. I want to add one more halach and then I'll take questions. In general, I am not a fan of koshering things, kalim, utensils for Pesach. It's not of this time and this place where we live. When I went to yeshiva, still in my teens, so I, Baruch Hashem, grew up in a house. My father, Olam HaShalom, I went with him sometimes to Tovel Kalim. Many of my chaverim in yeshiva, they grew up in homes which were quite similar to mine, and yet Tfilas Kalim was unheard of in their homes. The parents never heard of Tfilas Kalim. Many of my chaverim. And what used to go on, guys used to go on weekends when the parents went away, and they'd bring a car to the house, or a van, and they would have a station wagon, they'd take all the kalim to the mikvah and tovel them and bring them back, and God help them if they broke one of the plate the glass things, while traveling it up and back. I don't know how many times that I heard such types of stories. And I realized eventually what was the reason for it. The reason was very simple. The reason is our parents grew up, at the time of our grandparents, the purchasing of dishes was something that was few and far between. People didn't have a lot of money, and they lived on the edge. And therefore, whoever saw their parent buy a pot, by the time you were old enough, they had their pots, pans, and the dishes already, and you just never saw anyone buying anything. So their parents, in fact, our grandparents, probably did Tfilas Kalim, but their children just never saw it, and they were totally unaware there was such a mitzvah for that reason. Whereas today, it's ubiquitous. All you have to do is to every Jewish hardware store just about as a mikvah, and you see the mess that's being made constantly. You can't not know about Tfilas Kalim. Now, in that world, kosher and kalim made sense. In our world, it doesn't make sense. It is very hard to kasher things properly, that they should be suitably clean, to clean fully around the handles of pots, to clean the curled rims, which is basically an impossibility on the aluminum pots, the curled rims that's upon them. Kosher in commercial establishments has that milah, because commercial pots do not have the curled rims. They're made differently. And again, you can do certain things with torches, etc., because there's a lot of metal and very little plastic on the commercial kalim that you cannot do in your house. So basically, I'm a misnagad. I do not believe in koshering. If you want, if necessary, only if necessary, you should kosher your bechus for Pesach, because probably mitzara din, they don't really need to be kosherized, because you don't really put hot chametz ever in them, except maybe they're washed sometimes with hot chametz. So that, clean well and kosherize them. Other than that, unless maybe if you inherit some heirloom set of silver from your grandmother, and she used it for the whole year, and you want to use it for Pesach, so bother to clean it once well and kosherize it. But that's where kashering for Pesach should end. So I'll end with this point. That's as much as I want to do in the halachas for tonight. If there are any questions, I will take them at this particular point.
Back to the refrigerator. If you have glass shelves, do you need to cover them?
Glass shelves? Again, if you put hot pots directly on them, you're better off. If you don't...
Hot being again, 190?
Yes, 120, over 120. If you don't put hot things on them, so you're just looking to wash them, that's all.
And if you have an ice...
Just clean the out, so clean it well. I don't think you have to do more.
The ice we take during a meal sometimes.
So clean it out well, that's all. It's cold, obviously. Yeah. What? Excuse me? I four mica table in the kitchen, I happen to be a machmer, I do dump hot water on it and I cover it, but all you need to do really is to cover it well. A dining room table I just cover well, you don't dump hot water on a dining room table. I did it to my mother-in-law's table, she still doesn't want to talk to me.
How high in the backsplash?
As high as you think practically that anything could splash.
6 inches, 8 inches.
Well. Yeah, more than that. A good foot. Inches, it's something like that. At least a foot, 12 foot. Your wife will figure it out better than you. Yeah. Yeah, Michael.
In pasturing methods, which pot do you use? When do you do it in this process?
Again, you don't use it for 24 hours beforehand. You wash it well. No, the bechers, yes. You use a Pesach thicker pot, and that's it. There is some amongst the practice at the end, if you use the Pesach thicker pot and you want to use it just to kosherize it again when you finish, you know. But again, that's a chumrah. Where? Okay, listen, as I say, there are shuls that do it. As I say, I view it as a relic of the past. I don't see the necessity in today's world to do such a thing. I just don't see it. And the halakhic complications are significant. A life you have to wash, that's all. And not if you put it on the table, put it down on something else, basically. If you're afraid the food is going to get on it, so dump some hot water on it too. But, you know, if you're not afraid the food is going to get on it, don't. I don't know if you get hot food on it any time during the year. I would hardly doubt. Cover it. That's all. Same thing. Just cover it over. Yes. I just cover them. That's all. I put cardboard on top of them. I leave them right where they are. I cover them with cardboard. And what about tablecloths? Cloth tablecloths, if you want to use them for Pesach. If you wash them well and they don't leave any stains, you can use them for Pesach. If they leave stains, you put them away. And that's it. Simple. Yes?
The self-cleaning oven has one cycle. What kind of spots?
I'm not talking to the other powdery spots, which are nothing, but sometimes you see gook remain for whatever reason. Yeah. Yes? Yes, you can cook in aluminum pans. Yes. Yeah. paper plates, the best is to use the plastic ones. I'm not telling you any of the other ones are usur, but the ones which are most mutter are the plastic.
What about styrofoam?
Styrofoam also. Styrofoam is fine and plastic is fine, yes. Oh, well, let me give you, before we end, just some pieces of information. The first one is particularly relevant to people of Sephardic background, the first one, and that is that the Carolina rice, it's called gold, whatever, which is the one which has been very popular in past years of the Sephardic community. It has additives in it, and it should not be used on Pesach, even the one from Carolina. You have to get a rice without additives. The Carolina gold, which was in wide use in recent years in the Sephardic community, this year it has additives in it. You should not use it. The sunsweet prune juice, which was at the time probably the only one that was for Pesach, should not be used for this Pesach. I mean, there are other ones on the market, but that should not be used for this Pesach, according to this year's information. Anything with ground nuts, I would strongly advise you, obviously, get them with a hechsher. One of the problems is that a lot of times you'll see today, even on ground nuts, that it'll say on the packaging that it may contain wheat, because it's packaged on machinery which is used for wheat as well. And now with all the allergy sensitive information that's put out, it's also, many of the packages even read that they may contain bits of wheat in them that's certainly not suitable for Pesach. Soy products now. Soy, we know kidney is permissible for Pesach, and there is soy milk. But with soy milk, make very careful inquiry. Some of the soy milks have absolute chametz in them, chametz gomer in them, and they're absolutely chametzdik for Pesach. So one has to be aware of that. Just when you're buying, make sure, check exactly the type, the exact brand name, and the exact particular what type that you have, type A, B, C, or all the particulars to make sure that it only has soy. Yes? So you need you should speak to the kashrus agencies now and find out which ones are kosher the Pesach and which ones are not. I'm just telling you, there are ones which contain actual chametz that are sold in Whole Foods stores today. Now, very interesting, those that are machmer not to sell chametz gomer for Pesach, I myself do not sell any real chametz. Things which contain vinegar are not to be considered chametz gomer. This came out recently on the Breuer's list. And I was in discussion with it with the Rabbonim in the Star K today, my Chaverim there. And the reason for it is, in this country at least, I'm not saying this applies any place else in the world, but in the United States of America, vinegar is almost exclusively made from corn. It is very, very rarely made from wheat. So I spoke to a Chaver of mine who's been in major kashrus agencies for many years. He's in the Star K for many, many years now. He was in St. Louis beforehand, and he told me he was only aware in his wanderings around America of one small plant that actually made vinegar from wheat in this country. Just about, because the abundance of corn, it's a lot cheaper to make vinegar from corn. I knew this about Heinz vinegar already a number of years ago, but apparently research has indicated that this is almost universal. So one cannot use it either way on Pesach, but if you don't sell chametz gomer, so all the things which contain vinegar, you can sell them anyhow. And finally, a subject which has sort of been up and back over the years, but the latest research by the kashrus agencies, according to the din of the Gemara, one could wet mill flour on Pesach. Now, the best way of milling flour is you take the kernels and you douse, you make them wet, and then you grind them, and that's the best grind, and that's the way flour is ground throughout the entire year. In Lashon Kodesh, the process is called lisisa. In the time of the Gaonic period, about 1,000 years back, they put an end to this practice because they were concerned it would not be done properly and people would leave it wet for too long and it would become chametzdik. So for Pesach, for all matzahs, we use a process which is called dry mold. We do not make the grain wet. It's a more difficult process by which to grind. Now the question is flour, again, for those that don't sell chametz gomer, flour is wet milled. Is the flour to be construed as chametz gomer or not? And the conclusion of the people in the field of kashrus presently is that it is not to be construed as chametz gomer, only a sopik chametz. So if I don't sell chametz gomer, if I don't sell pasta, and I don't sell bread and cookies, etc., but I can sell flour. Rabbi Yisai, I thank you for being here. It's been a pleasure. Be'ez Hashem, next week we will have a share on the Haggadah and on matters pertaining to B'dikas chametz.
Very much. I've been mentioned to you the town. On the water filter, it doesn't mean a small little factor.